Welcome to episode 161 of the Daniel Yoris Podcast, Spring Q&A. Let's go. Recording this podcast right now is really not the thing that I most want to be doing. But here we are. It has to get done. It's got to get done now in just my weekly scheduling. I'm recording this on Monday evening and it's going live on a Tuesday morning. And that's how things go. Now, I'm doing it because some scheduling things happen and that's fine. Procrastination a little bit, sure. But mostly, I'm just sticking to what I said I would do. So if there's nothing else you take from this podcast, sometimes you got to do things that you don't want to do because you want something bigger than what you want in that moment. And that's okay. You don't need to love every second of it. You don't need to love every second of your fitness journey. You more likely than not will not love every second of it and love everything that you need to do. But it's what's required in the grander scheme of things to stick to the promises that you made to yourself, to keep doing the things and to keep doing them even when you're not exactly always fired up to do so. Now, most of the time, I am pretty excited to do podcasts, but in this moment, I'm not. And we're not going to talk about that for much longer than that. This is obviously a solo episode, just me. We're going to do some Q&A, a couple little updates and some things, you know, sticking to the quarterly-ish Q&A stuff. So these questions were taken from people who submitted questions on Instagram. I had some issues with answering the questions on Instagram, like on the Instagram story, it wasn't working. So we'll start with that. And one of the first questions was, this is a strange question in general, but it was about what are some of my pet peeves in the fitness industry? Now, what was my number one pet peeve was actually the first one. This episode is going to be a jumbling of thoughts, so just bear with me. There are several things that come to mind. One is the reliance on social media for delivering information. I think it's a terrible way to actually deliver information for many reasons because you're competing. It's not about competing. It's that there is an element of entertainment that and attention grabbing that supersedes the deliverance of information most of the time. And it's a really weird space to be. And it results in, I don't know that I have just one pet peeve. My biggest pet peeve actually is just the Instagram platform overall, but that's, you know, that this is not relevant to anyone. What's something that's actually relevant is, you know, there's a meme, you may have seen it before, where someone says, I really like apples. And then the comments will be filled with, well, so that means you must hate oranges or you think bananas are horrible or you think grapes are disgusting or whatever. And it's like, well, they just said that they like apples. They didn't say anything about the other stuff. And we see this all the time in the fitness industry. Maybe to sum this up is that I can say, there's a good chance that I've probably participated in this to some degree, maybe here on the podcast, not in comment sections, but maybe through some of the podcasts, but infighting in the industry where someone says, I like this exercise. It's a 15-second video, you know, whatever on Instagram or on whatever platform. And then other coaches chime in and say, well, what about this? Or what about that? Or what about this consideration? And it's not, I have to be very clear that I'm not saying that it's not a pet peeve when it's not other coaches, because sometimes people have genuine questions and, you know, you're missing some context. You don't understand what you don't understand. And that's fine. Same as me not understanding something about some other industry. It's other coaches who are just looking to pick a fight and looking to, you know, argue for the sake of argument, for the sake of trying to be right. And in the end, it's not actually helping anyone. And that's probably my biggest pet peeve is just, we don't need to compete with that. Like our competition is not each other. There are certainly bad ideas, but competition is not each other. Competition is the general lifestyle that people are living, and we're all trying to make people healthier, you know, live better lives, get stronger, lose weight, and all the things that come with that. So I think to sum it up is a little bit of like infighting within the industry on things that don't actually matter, especially when everyone involved gets the point of what's being said. The problem with social media is that there's not enough space for context, and then it's happened to me where I, you know, post some clips from the podcast, and they're a clip that I know will be maybe do better because of the way that the statement is made. And then the comments are, have things saying like, you know, it's out of context. And if you listen to the full episode, you would understand what's being talked about. Or if you just extrapolate a little bit, you would figure it out, but you don't, and no one will. And that is what it is. Like one thing that, something that I've kind of picked up from my grandparents, who English is their second language, you know, as kids, and even now, it's just, you know, it's fun, but poking fun. They'll say something that's incorrect in English. They'll use the wrong word, or, you know, they'll make language makes mistakes, which is normal and fine. And if I was speaking their native languages, which I should be better at, but I'm not, I would obviously be way worse than they are in English. Anyways, we make a mistake and, you know, we make fun of them, we laugh, you know, and then, they'll say, well, but you knew what I was trying to say. And they're right. And so, you know, this is all a joking kind of laughing matter. But the point is, like, they said something incorrect or maybe incomplete, rather. But the point still got across. Like, just because I maybe omitted a word in a short post doesn't mean that we don't mean something else. And so I think the whole pet peeve thing is like this inability to a little bit extrapolate ideas and let things go that don't matter, spend time and energy fighting against stuff that does matter, not stuff that doesn't matter. And I don't think I really want to spend too much more time on that. Another question was about any wedding planning updates and stuff on my end. Not a whole lot. We have our venue and our date and all that. Photography is booked. There's kind of like a lull period right now in the planning, and as you might expect, I'm a little bit on the sidelines of the planning. But that, we did a little bit of house shopping, which is a hilarious thing, and not to continue to go in on real estate agents, but the thing that I learned the most, and whether buy house, I don't know if it's a right time to buy a house or not, who knows, market, all these things, there's pros and cons and lots to consider with all those things. But one thing I did learn is, like, real estate agents will always, they love to tell you that it's a good time to buy a house, and they will even give competing reasons. Real estate agent A will say, it's a good time to buy a house because of XYZ. Agent B will say, it's a good time to buy a house because of opposite to XYZ. And it's just hilarious. And then on the alternative, if you're selling a house, it's also always a good time to sell a house because of those same reasons. It's just, it's a fascinating world to me. But anyways, wedding planning is going well. I guess kind of tying into one of the next questions was, I referenced, if you follow me on Instagram, took a snowboarding trip. We went to Whistler for 5 days, which was phenomenal. Absolutely amazing. And I talked about, I referenced at some point about some of the training that I was doing for that, and kind of how this ties into the whole wedding and trying to get really lean and all that stuff. I was very worried about being injured on this trip. It was 5 days of snowboarding on a real mountain. And my injury history is horrible. I'm like one of the most injured people that I know all the time. And for a lot of reasons, and I think, whatever, I don't know exactly why. But anyways, I'm always injured. I'm very injury prone. So I was very worried, naturally. Now, I didn't say any of this out loud and talk about it because I literally didn't want to jinx it. That is actually my reason. And so the way that I changed some of my training was trying to just do some more like joint integrity and volume training. Now, that means probably nothing, but it was like a lot of higher reps, a lot of mobility work, and working on making sure that my knees are good, my ankles are good, my hips are good, a lot of high volume, because obviously snowboarding is more of like a cardio-ish activity. It's not like a strength, it's not like I'm doing three squats and then resting. Like, it's like my body, my joints, and my muscles have to sustain these forces and these outputs for like a prolonged period of time. So it was more like endurance style training. Now, kind of pushing it hard on the joints, trying to make sure that everything's feeling good and feeling smooth. I wasn't really concerned at all with body composition, and so I wasn't dieting down. I was kind of just at my normal maintenance level. I didn't want to be wearing, like, when you're losing weight, when you're in a deficit, you are at a slightly higher risk of injury just because your body's not being fueled enough. So I was training for performance. Now, I'm not some hardcore professional snowboarder or anything like that, but I didn't want to get injured. I wanted to feel good, all that kind of stuff. So that's how my training was. Now that that's done, and, you know, thankfully came out of there with no injuries, now I'm kind of into the, it's time to really lean out and get ready for the wedding, which is still far away, but I have lots of time and I want to get pretty lean and pretty big transformation for that. So that's coming up. Now, I've talked about this in episodes before, the whole plan for that is to get down in and around 9%. Now, am I actually going to get to 9%? How am I going to measure that? I'm not actually going to measure it. It's just a ballpark. It's a number that I want. It's an ideal that I want. Could I get there? Yes. Will I get there? I don't know, because of two reasons. One, I'm not going to go that far out of my way to get some accurate enough measurements to make sure. And even a DEXA scan, which is like pretty well as accurate as you can get, is like, you can play with the numbers and you can, that can be manipulated as well. So that's one. Number two is I will strongly question my motivation to get that lean at that point, because it doesn't actually matter that much. I do want to get leaner just for my own self, never mind the wedding and anything like that. But like getting down to sub 10% is pretty, it's a lot. That's pretty lean, takes a lot of work. And I will question whether or not I question at this point whether or not I'm actually going to stick it through to that level. I'll obviously get leaner, but like not necessarily to that level, but maybe I will, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see, kind of see how things roll out. I'm not in a position where I feel like I need to, like I could get married tomorrow and be perfectly fine with my physique, my body. So it's not, I don't have that strong of a why. And this is something that I did speak about in that episode with John, like a few months back. So definitely a stronger why now, because I have the wedding coming up, than last year. But is it really strong enough to like really get down there? I don't know. I'll have to make up some new challenges and you know, some fight some demons in my head to really get down there, I think. But that will still be the overall goal anyways, is getting in my best shape ever. Whatever the specific numbers of that are, I actually completely do not care, as long as it's my best ever. The numbers are just a reflection of that. I organize these questions out pretty well. The next question was about tips for getting shredded for summer. Now, this is something that I covered extensively last summer, episode 117. So if you want to go back, listen to that one. I'll link it in the show notes. The tips for getting lean for summer are the tips for getting lean forever. The best tip is you should have started already. The second best tip is start right now. Turn this podcast off and start right now. That's the next best tip. Now, what do you do? It's the same as always. Calorie deficit. Get your steps in. Make sure you're eating whole foods. Make sure you're sleeping well. Make sure you're drinking lots of water. I know that these things seem so simple and we're always looking for like the, well, what is it? What's the new thing this year? What's different this time? There's literally nothing new. You can set up a calorie deficit a million ways. You can do tons of different diets. They all make you eat less in some way and encourage you to move more in some way, walking, strength training, whatever. So that's, this question is not specific enough for me to give more specific tips than that. The tip, again, it's you should have started earlier. That's what the tip is. We're three-ish months away from summertime. Well, I guess it's like right at the beginning of spring, so every season's 3 months. So yeah, so what, 3 months, maybe a little longer here until it's like actually warm enough to be like kind of, you know, beach pool weather. But regardless, you should have started sooner because it's going to take longer than you think it takes. And is that helpful advice? I don't know. I don't think this is new. Is it helpful to say that you should be in a calorie deficit? Like, probably not. If you've listened to this before, you know that. Do you know that you should get more steps in? Do you know that you should be strength training? Do you know that you should be sleeping more, eating whole foods, you know, doing all those things? Yeah, I hope you know that. I hope that this is not brand new to you. But maybe it is. And if it is, then great. Then I'm happy that that's what you're hearing and that you found it. It comes back to me doing this episode right now. I think this episode already kind of sucks because my energy feels not great right now. And I hope that that's not coming off so much in the way that I'm speaking, but it probably is. And you know, you're gonna have good days and bad days. This is probably not my best episode. I think there's been a real string of really good episodes in the last few weeks, but today's an off day. This is an off episode, and that's okay. The point of me circling back there is, like, I can't tell you any tips that are so secret without more specifics, knowing, like, you know, what is actually going on for you, what's actually going on, what are the specific struggles that you have. But in general, those are the things. I don't really want to be doing this right now, but I'm doing it. Do you really want to be getting into calorie deficit, going for walks, training, dieting, eating good food, sleeping a lot? Probably not, because, like, it's not as fun. But that's how you get the result that you want. If I want the podcast to grow, if I want this to, you know, keep up with the pod release schedule that I had set out, one episode a week at least, if I want this to, you know, continue to get bigger guests, more views, more clients, more everything, of course, then I got to just keep doing it. And sometimes I'm not going to love it. The biggest tip maybe is that then you're not going to love it. Losing weight is not fun. It's not that difficult. It's not easy. It's not that difficult. It's certainly not complicated. Some form of eating enough protein, 1 gram per pound of body weight. I hope you've heard that 1,000 times. Some form of controlling your calories in some way. So you got to eat a little bit less, and you can find ways to, you know, figure out how many calories you need to be eating. This is how fluent my thoughts are right now. And I'm not going to give blanket numbers here, because I don't know enough about you specifically right now. But if you want to talk to me about it, I'm always open. Send me a DM. We'll chat. We can figure out, you know, where your numbers should be. If you want to go the macro tracking route, if you have ideas about certain other diet, you want to try XYZ diet, that diet, I can give you the pros and cons of each of them. I mean, all diets work by not forcing you, but making you eat less in some way, because they either exclude food groups, exclude food timing, they exclude something or include something that in essence makes you eat less overall. That's how diet works. That's how diets work. That's how fat loss works. That just is what it is. But at the end of the day, you don't need more tips and tricks. If this is not your first piece of fitness content that you've ever listened to, which that would be awesome if this was someone's first ever thing, probably not, because this is not my best episode. Definitely go listen to something else, a different episode. But if this is not the first piece of fitness content that you've ever listened to, then you know the things that you need to do. You just need to do them. So to wrap that up, my summer shredding tip is do the things that you know you should do. Keep the promises that you make to yourself and get it done. Stop looking for tips and tricks. Just get to work. Next question. Very much along the similar lines. I know that a calorie deficit, and we can get a little more specific here. I know that a calorie deficit matters most and that carbs aren't bad, but I feel like I can't get lean unless I do low carb. Why is this? Great question. Sometimes I feel like this as well. Not necessarily, well, sometimes with the carbs, but with different things. I feel like I can't get as lean as possible if I'm not running, which is a really silly, like all of these things are really silly, right? Again, we're trying to drive a calorie deficit, we're trying to train, trying to sleep right, all those things. However we go about doing them, it shouldn't really matter. But there are intangibles to how we do this. So for whoever asked this question, which I know who you are, you know that carbs are not bad. And in no way, carbs are not bad. Let's get that out of the way. The likely reason why you feel like you can get leaner by having little to no carbs is probably because it's just easier for you logistically and due to your preferences and life circumstance to stick to a deficit when you're eating less carbs. Maybe you prefer higher fats, maybe you feel better at that, and so it makes it easier for you to stick through it versus having higher carbs and maybe more meticulously counting your macronutrients. Maybe you feel worse having more carbs, and neither of those are right or wrong. It's just about which one is right for you. You could give two people this like completely different diets and they could have the same results because it works for them. So a lot of things work. The most important thing is that you adhere to it and that you do it consistently. And so if using a lower carb approach helps you stick to it and stick through it, then that's the approach that's going to work for you. And so it's okay. It's okay. I think that with a lot of the messaging, it can be very conflicting and it's very difficult to start to understand, well, what do I need? What do you need as an individual? Because we'll have extremes that say you should, you know, do total carnivore, you know, only red meat and nothing else and just drink water and, you know, and that'll make you healthy and whatever. So someone will say that, or vegan, or any like extreme thing. Okay. So that's one end of the spectrum. Then the other end of the spectrum is kind of like, you can eat anything you want, chocolate cake, cookies, chips, all of the stuff, Coke, Coca-Cola, alcohol, you know, do your thing, eat whatever you want, drink whatever you want. As long as your calories are in check, you're good. From a strictly fat loss perspective, both things are right. Everything in between those are correct and can work for certain people. Which one that works for you, it's a different story. So the main thing is that you're able to stick to it. Some people, for whatever reason, cannot even fathom not having their chocolate chip cookies every day. And if that means they only need to have one cookie or two cookies or sacrifice some other food or feel a little bit more hungry so they can keep their diet in check or their calories in check, then that's their way to lose weight. I don't think it's a good strategy. I don't think we should be promoting eating junk food, but obviously I get it. I eat junk food from time to time. I have clients who do it. It's fine. It's okay. But it shouldn't be a thing that we're specifically promoting, I don't think. So you'll have that. Then, but you'll have someone else who can't stick to that. They can't do the moderation. That having the one cookie a day or the whatever their junk is, we'll just pick on cookies, but they'll have the one cookie or two cookies so long as their calories in check. Counting the calories and doing that and that feeling that little bit of extra hunger because they're having less nutritious food, that is so much more difficult for them just due to personality, lifestyle preferences, social habits and social circles and whatever their life situation is. Things will be more or less difficult to stick to. It's not that one strategy is universally more or less effective. It's just how effective is it for you? And this is the hard thing because you can hear both sides. You'll hear people who say, this works for me and only do this, and they're right for them. And then you'll hear people say something completely different and say, well, person A is an idiot, do my way. And they're both right. This is the problem. They're both correct for themselves. It's really hard to then put those together and then figure out, well, what is going to work for me? This is why working with a coach has so much value. People say stuff like, well, all the information is out there. Why would you need a coach? 1,000%. Who do you think is the one putting the information out there? It's the coaches like me who are trying to help people and give information and also have clients hire us to help them. We're very much aware that all the information is out there for free. We are the ones putting out the information. That is not what you hire a coach for. You hire a coach to sift through the information and help you figure out what is the best approach for you. I have clients who do very different diets, very different workouts, because that's what works for them. I can't say that that approach would work for everyone, but through conversation, through getting to know each other, through intake, through feedback, we get to say, okay, well, this approach might be best for you. This approach is completely out. This approach is, let's try this. If this doesn't work, then we'll try, you know, plan B. If plan B doesn't work, then we have a plan C. Oh, plan A is not working, but it actually could work. We just have to make this one little tweak. Or why is it not working? These are the things that we do. And so it's very difficult. So I totally understand you. And it's hard to hear competing things because there's probably people you like. I'm speaking to the person who asked this original question. There's probably people you like who say that, like, you must have carbs, or I could never live without carbs, and you can have all the carbs you want as long as, you know, and still lose weight. And that's fine. And that works for a lot of people. But for a lot of people, they feel much better having lower carbs. And that's okay too. Like, neither of these are unhealthy or dangerous or like extreme approaches. Like, both are okay. Some people need to have their 400 grams of carbs a day, even in a deficit, to make themselves feel good. And that's great if they feel happy, if they're healthy, if they're getting the goals, the results that they want, then by all means, do whatever the fuck you want. But if it's not working for you, then it's not working for you. And it doesn't have to work for you just because some people that you like have one approach. There are many people, friends of mine in the industry, who have approaches that I would never do for myself. There are some people who have approaches I would never do for my clients. It doesn't mean that they're wrong. It just means that for me, that's not the thing that's going to work for me. For my clients, it's not the thing that's going to work for most of my clients, but I'm able to understand why they do what they do. I'm understand the reasons why what they do works and how that might be applied to someone else, to another client. And you take an idea from here, an idea from there, an idea from here, and you put it all together and you make your own, right? It's the Bruce Lee code. You absorb what's useful, discard what's not, and then make it uniquely your own. That's what you have to be able to do. So, sum all that up. If you feel like you can't get lean unless you do low carb, and that, and this is the key, and that works for you and historically worked for you, then continue to do it. If it's not actually working for you, then don't do it. You just need to find a better approach. So there's another caveat there. But no, carbs are not the key, or removing carbs are not the key to getting lean. For some people they are, for some people they are not. It's not the carbs themselves, it's your ability to stick to the plan. So cannot stress that enough. Going back to people not being able to understand context and things. So you got to understand what works for best for you. Hiring a coach is one of the best ways to do this. It will just save you so much time in trying to navigate all the what ifs, and it will save you money. And I've been beating this drum for a while. Like, it saves you money because you waste less time, you waste less energy, you put your money to use, and you get the things you want. Like, you're paying for stuff, you're paying for food, you're paying for effort, you're paying for hardship, you're paying for your time, and you're not getting the things you want. So if you just pay someone to help shortcut that and you make money in the long run, it seems like almost a no-brainer. But anyways, separate discussion. How and when to use full body workouts, and what are the best workout splits? So to double up question there. The reason I kind of coupled these is because they're just talking workout splits, and that's fine. How and when to use the full body workout splits. I think that more people than they think could benefit from using a full body workout split. If you're doing working out twice a week, you should be on a full body split, full body both days. The exception to this is if you can only work out 2 days a week and those days are back-to-back days. Like if you can only work out on a Saturday, Sunday, for whatever reason, because of your work or because of whatever. Even then, you could still go full body, just maybe different intensities or slightly different like focuses within that full body. But 2 days a week, full body, 95% of the time. If you're a beginner, you should be doing full body workouts just because you don't need that much stimulus. Like, you don't need a full chest day. You certainly don't need a full leg day if you're a beginner, because you're just going to not walk for 3 weeks. You just don't need that much stimulus to really get the intended results. So the earlier you are, and I'll say beginner as in like, if you're 3 months or less into working out, you should be just be doing full body workouts. Beyond 3 days a week, even as like an intermediate, more advanced person, you can still get away with full body workouts. Still great. You can get enough intensity in, you're repeating things, you know, you're hitting each muscle group 2 to 3 times a week, which is what you want to be doing, right? You want to be hitting things twice a week. That's why if you're doing two workouts a week, full body, you get everything in. It's the only way to do it. When you get more than 3 days a week, 4 or 5, even 6 days, I don't think that many people really need to lift 6 days a week, but 4 and 5 days a week, you can split things up. 4 days a week, you can go upper, lower. 5 days a week, you can go upper, lower. And then that fifth day can be like one more of whatever it is that you want to focus on. So an additional upper day or an additional lower body day. 3 lower body days in a week is rough and maybe a little bit more neurologically demanding to be able to recover from. So more likely you're going to go 3 upper body days. Even if your goal is more leg development, like 2 leg days is probably enough. If you're training intensely enough. So I guess to answer the question again is like, how to use full body workouts. Let's go with that. You pick one exercise from each of the main muscle / movement groups. So that would be an upper body push. So that's chest and shoulders. An upper body pull. That's anything in your back. And you can separate the back and the upper body into like vertical motions and horizontal motions. So vertical push would be shoulder press. A vertical pull would be a lat pull down or a pull up. Horizontal push and pull would be like a bench press or a horizontal row or dumbbell row of some kind. So you pick one from the upper body push, one from the upper body pull, and then the same through lower body. One from upper or lower body push, which is going to be like your quads. So maybe like a squat, split squat, something like that, leg extension, which wouldn't really use as your main thing, but whatever. And then one from lower body pull or like a hinge kind of motion. So glutes and hamstrings. So your RDLs, your hamstring curls, deadlifts, things like that, hip thrusts, things of that nature. So you pick one of each of those exercises from one of each of those 4 buckets. That's your 4 exercises. You probably add in an additional like back or rotator cuff exercise, because we've all got to work on like pulling more and just avoiding the slouch, and you're going to have better posture and your shoulders and everything. Your back is going to feel better if you get some sort of face pull, reverse fly, something like that, and to get the back and the upper back working a little bit more. You're going to get some type of core exercise, be it one day should have something that is isometric or static, like a plank. One day should have something a little bit more dynamic, like a crunch or a crunch of some sort. So one day you're like moving your abs, one day you're holding your abs and creating that stability. And that's 6 exercises. Like that's a solid workout right there. You do that, and that's your full body workout. Now you can add more exercises. You can double up on some things. There's a million ways to do this, but that's the skin and bones of it. I was trying to create a resource that was called 1 million free workouts. And it's pretty much done. However, I'm struggling to get it to make it concise enough that it would be useful. And it was this whole like description of how to program workouts, basically how to think about how to include how many sets, how many reps, how many choose this exercise versus that exercise, how to set up your split, how to use tempos and variations and all these things. And it's like, it's just it's a little too long, a little too wordy. So I've got to simplify it down and, but still include enough detail to make it make sense rather than just spitting out all these workouts. Cause then it's just makes no sense. So if I figure out how to do that, that will majorly help with this. As far as the best workout splits, doesn't really matter. Get your, like, the best work, people love to argue about best workout splits. I think it's a silly thing to argue about. Hit each muscle twice a week. Focus more on the things that you want to grow more or improve on more. Focus a little less, but not zero, on the things that you don't care about as much or maybe feel like you don't need. If you do that, it doesn't actually matter how you split it up. Push-pull legs, bro split, this whatever named stuff, they're all kind of like variations of the same anyways. So I think for most people, it's kind of what I said. 2 days a week, full body. 3 days a week, full body, full body, full body. Or upper, lower, full body. 4 days a week, upper, lower, upper, lower. 5 days a week, upper, lower, upper, lower, upper on that fifth day. Or even like put it like a mobility / something else bonus kind of bro day, arms, shoulders, a little bit more abs, glutes, if that's your thing, calves, whatever, those like things that kind of get pushed aside and are not as important in that fifth day if you need. So that's in a nutshell, that's how it is. Now, again, to each individual, this changes. Everyone's got different things going on, so whatever, but overall, like that's the skeleton of it. Last question here, and I will wrap this up very shortly. what do my diet and workouts look like? And so I talked about, you know, I'm going to start to get a little bit leaner. I've not really shared a lot of this in the last little bit because of a couple reasons. The first reason is that it is quite annoying to be filming myself working out in the gym and just like when I'm trying to focus on what I'm doing, which is my workout, to have to think about setting up the camera, getting the angle, making sure other people are not in the shot, you know, like that kind of stuff. Like I just want to work out. I don't really want to have to take away time. So that's a real reason, but it's also somewhat of an excuse because like just be, you know, at myself, be a little less lazy and just do it. Two is I'm not sure how it's like, it's not that exciting. So I don't know how it competes against the entertainment value of Instagram, how it's always super helpful. But like, I know that people ask about it. My diet is very boring. I eat meat or fish, vegetables, and some carbs at every meal. That's my diet. It's extremely boring. And maybe that's helpful to see. I don't know. Maybe it's the repeated thing similar to like the dance monkey, the coffee every day. Maybe it's helpful. I've been saying this for a while. Like I'm going to keep trying to like make a better effort to do this, but I promise you it's not that exciting. It's not all that impressive. Like I think it's safe to say I'm stronger and whatever than the average person out there, but I'm not deadlifting 500-600 pounds. I'm not doing anything like wildly impressive in the gym to say like, oh, this is so sick that you should see this. Like, yeah, it's pretty like amongst fitness people, like it's pretty mediocre or maybe even less. Like I'm not a big guy, so I don't have impressive things to do to show in the gym. And the camera is deceiving. Like sometimes you think people are bigger than they are and you're just like, well, why is that guy lifting only that? It's like, well, because the guy who looks the same is actually like 70 pounds heavier than him and that's why he can lift way more. So anyways, I will try and show more of it, but what I've kind of described is what my workouts are like. Upper, lower, squat, hinge, push, pull, little core, train hard, intensely. There's no secrets. It's not real magic. I wish I could say that it's magic, but I will start showing more of it. It's also brings us to another point, just something that I'm going to start doing in the podcast a little bit more, kind of like story times and random things that I've remembered kind of like from the past years, kind of coming up, learning things that how I learned about fitness and make them relatable. And I'll do maybe I'll call it something, but it'll be just some sort of mini little story series. I'll throw them in as like throw in episodes. They'll be short ones, actual short ones and like additional to the regular ones. One, it's a good way for me to like reflect on it. Two, I'm sure there's some value to be had in those stories and transferring those lessons and things like that. Three, I think it helps get to know me a little bit more and the inside and helps me find people who resonate with those messages, which is really the big challenge or my big challenge with all this internet stuff. And those of you who have been following me for a while, one, thank you. But two, you've seen my or heard my struggles with just the whole idea of the internet and messaging and the way all this hashtag influencer stuff works out. But I've got to put a different effort into that and maybe a more directed effort is probably the better word. So I'm gonna start to do that way to open up a little bit more, not open up a little bit more, just give a little bit more insight into what I do. And now as I get back to my highest level of fitness, maybe that makes more sense. Maybe that resonates with a little more people. Maybe that's like, hey, oh, he's looking good, doing good. He's, you know, what's he doing? That's kind of my thought. And maybe it sparks some ideas in you. Maybe it gives a little bit of creativity. Maybe it gives a little different angle of things. I don't know. But we're going to try it and we're going to roll with it. So with all that said, if you listen to this whole episode, you're the fucking best. So thank you. Yeah, like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. You know, go outside, be a good person. No, hold on. Before I do cut this off, actually. Was there anything else that I want to say? No, I don't know. Spring is here. Like, summer's coming. Let's get it going. Go outside. Be a good person. See you next time.